that's, yeah, and I didn't, I figured, you know, if I just put it in your mind to think of people, mm-hmm. you know, you'll remember people, I suspect.
And food.
And food, yeah.
It's not lahmacun and tabbouleh and hummus, because hummus is not Armenian, it's mm-hmm. Lebanese. And tabbouleh is Arab Lebanese. Of course, it's, you know, everybody
Shared.
Eats everything, you know, that's different.
Yeah.
But some people do not go beyond it. I mean, we have a soups which are authentic Armenian, you know.
Yeah.
And nobody's even says about
it. I want you to, you know, my specialty is food. That's my, that's what I spend most of my time working on. I'd love to, you know, I want to come over and I want you to show me a whole bunch of traditional food.
It's not, even though lahmacun, how do you call it?
Well, you know, people say lahmacun.
Lahmacun,
you
yeah.
know, I mean, you're saying it right.
Lahmacun.
You know, I mean, people just go lahmacun.
In Arabic means meat, lahme. And ajin is the dough.
So it's dough with
It's
meat.
Really lahm al ajin. There is
lahm
an L. But my mother insists that's Armenian, even though the whole world knows as being Syrian.
Mm-hmm.
It is mostly known as Syrian. But she says when, because she is born in Syria, my mother is not, has not walked with the massacre people, no. She is born, my mother, this mother, is born in Syria, and she says she was like maybe elementary age when all the massacred people arrived in Aleppo,
uh-huh.
which is in Syria,
right,
which is the nearest to the Turkish border. She says, you know, there is a city that the name is Sasun. So those people they started to bake at their homes. You know, you have to live, you have to make money, you have to survive.
Right.
What they used to do in their towns or villages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a dough, and there is a meat, hamburger meat on top with some onion.
Right.
And then that was the lahm al ajin that was, and the Armenian man started to bake and sell
uh-huh.
outside
uh-huh.
on the street on their in a tray whatever
mm-hmm.
and then some of them, you know, started a bakery, and then they added the tomato paste, another added the parsley, another added something else, and then very lately garlic is added. Garlic
uh-huh.
is really added very, it's not like hardly 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So
over there or just here?
Just here.
Uh-huh.
And they start, no, there
a little bit.
There is a group of people love garlic, which is the city that my husband's family is.
Which
so
is which?
There is Marash, there is Aintab. So every city has a
sort of preference.
Preference, you know.
So which was his family's city?
His family is Aintab. My mother's, my family is Marash. So these two cities in southern Turkey where they were pushed, massacred, and they arrived in Syria. So food is always, you know, added.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, doesn't stay the original.
Right.
Until then, my mother says, there was no lahm al ajin in Syria.
Oh, really?
There was nothing. And then the these people that they call the people of Sasun, which is again a small big village, let's say, almost like a city, they started, and that's why the Arabs of Syria used to think that all Armenians were from Sasun.
Oh.
That's why they used to make fun of or nickname the Armenians Sasuniye, meaning
mm-hmm.
people from Sasun.
Sasun.
But they were from all over a lot
mm-hmm.
of different
mm-hmm.
c- cities.
But there were so many who came from that one.
And because those people had the bakeries, and this is how they know these people.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, they will not know the people from Marash, because that's a time when people are dying, when people are hungry. Who is going to even think about embroidery?
Right.
You know? But the food is the
instant. Because people had to keep eating. They didn't have to keep embroidering.
So, you know, Lahmul Ajin is really known as being Syrian, which really is Syrian, starting in Aleppo. Yeah, there is history in food.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the pizza. Look at all other, you know, food that, you know, immigrated with the immigrants. And some of them were developed to other things. When I was in Beirut, pizza was not like this. Was like this.
Teeny,
and they were decorated. That was the pizza I knew.
Uh-huh.
It was not big, plain, or coarse. It was, pizza was a delicate something, like a gourmet.
Oh, yeah.
Gourmet.
So
it
was about...
You know, it's not,
so,
sort not bigger than this.
Yeah, like the size of your hand.
Yeah.
And decorated with what kinds of things?
Of course, the cheese and the tomato paste, olives, green pepper, and it was decorated,
mm-hmm.
you know, like...
And might each one be different, or would they all have olives?
I mean, it could be different, too, but according to what you want.
Right.
And we used to eat, but we made it at home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we knew that was Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we knew that was pizza.
Did you eat it as a meal or more as a snack?
No, not a meal. It's like you have a party, you have a birthday, you do a lot of
mm-hmm.
it, you know. It's fun food,
mm-hmm,
mostly.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun food here, too.
Yeah. A lot of people eat it as their meals, however.
Yeah, it's a fast food.
Well, so I've gotten a little bit of an idea. Your family comes from all different places. What was where were you born and raised?
Oh, I am, my family, my mother and father, father and mother, I could call them Syrian. My mother is Syrian anyway, because
mm-hmm.
she's born in Aleppo.
And she just stayed there.
But we were Lebanese living in Syria.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like you are German.
Right.
German,
right.
But you are, I mean, there's a lot of French living in United States.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
So I can call, we are Lebanese.
So if you're now Armenian-American, they were Lebanese Syrians.
Yeah.
Okay. They were originally Lebanese. Is that right? Or not quite?
No, it's not quite. Then Syria and Lebanon were not this much of a distinct two countries. They used to call it, it was like we used to go back and forth.
Okay.
It was not a big, it was not difficult to be living in Syria, being Lebanese.
Okay.
Now, if they find any Syrian in Lebanon,
that's bad.
They want to send him back.
Okay. But it wasn't like that.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
And they couldn't work. Now they cannot work. They have to have
mm-hmm.
A lot of things like you have. If you are American and then you go to Canada, you can go. You
mm-hmm.
can visit. You can. You are not Canadian. There are legal things
mm-hmm,
you are not.
Mm-hmm. So those things weren't in place.
Weren't, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, were they originally Armenian?
My father and mother,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Who were then in Lebanon, who were then in Syria? Is
yeah,
that the idea?
My father's family really got not massacred, but like were chased, let's say, from
mm-hmm.
their homes. But happened that at that time my father was in Syria because they had business in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And
so it was
from,
fortunate actually.
From Marash to Aleppo, it's not really a big distance.
Mm-hmm.
So they used to go back, and my father had, how do you call that? they imported things from Marash to Aleppo, and then took metal to Marash back.
Mm-hmm.
This is how people were then. And then Syria was under the Ottoman dominion.
Mm-hmm.
This is at the massacre time. This is
right.
how the Armenians were in Syria, walking, and like one, not even third, you know, maybe 1/8 arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people are the descendants of those people all over the world. So my father just happened that while he was there, and then my mother maybe grew up and then they got married.
Mm-hmm.
But then originally my father's family and my mother's family, they both have come from Karabakh. You know what's Karabakh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The eastern?
Now Armenia wants it back from
Azerbaijan. Okay.
Because not only Stalin gave to Azerbaijan,
mm-hmm.
it's not old.
Right.
And then for a time, and then when the time finished, it coincided with the, I think, 88, when we were in Washington, the fighting,
mm-hmm.
not fighting, I mean the killings had started
mm-hmm.
already,
mm-hmm.
so 88. So since then, 88 now is 2000, huh?
No, I know. Well, it's 11 years now.
I don't know what will happen later. So my two families have arrived from there to...
That's where they came from.
It was not Turkey then.
Right.
Not recently, old time. Let's say 300, 200 years ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I have to bring you maps so that you understand.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I know. I've seen some historic Armenia, and that keeps
changing
being redivided.
Yeah.
And
where Armenians, came to Syria from, that's part of the old Armenia,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
the southern part of Turkey.
Right. So the families, both families, moved around,
around.
I guess a lot
of
Armenians did.
You know, wherever you see difficulty or killing or burning, you want to move.
Right.
Move somewhere safer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So at some point, it was Karabakh, then they were in your father's family, and it was Lebanon. And then Syria.
And then Syria.
That's where your parents.
And then when Syria, Syria has been very good to Armenians. We can never complain about Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. You know, Armenians prospered. First they got fed. Armenians were, there's one thing good about Armenians, we are not beggars. You know, we work hard.
Yeah.
Wherever we are, we build. We make it better. You know, this is how we were taught. But lately, even that has changed because of the difficulty now in Armenia. People change when you are hungry, when it's not the survival of the massacre time, but at least then, maybe people said, if I work hard, I will eat. Now, they cannot even work hard because of this blockade. I mean, they are almost let's say it's a big concentration camp that there is no hope.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's not a good condition for people.
So then what do? Your character change. You become, you start to steal, you start your moral change, what I was going to say about Armenians, so Syria was, I don't know how they accepted, even though it was under Ottoman dominion, but the Syrian people are very noble people, even though are now in politics, whatever there is, we don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But they did not give her time. They did not discriminate. They did not nothing, no killing, no burning, nothing, you know. So we prospered there, you know. They are now like number one citizens of Syria. They respect us, we respect them.
Mm-hmm.
There is no friction, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And
now how does that compare to Lebanon, Armenians in Lebanon?
Oh, Lebanon in Armenia, Armenians in Lebanon. First of all, Lebanon in our time was known as Christian country.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's coming back to Syria, when, you know, you don't remember, I don't know if you know, Abdel Nasser of Egypt,
mm-hmm.
Had this plan to make United Arab Republics of all the Arab countries. I don't blame him, you know, he had the idea. The first country that he convinced was Syria. Until then, Syria was but they were struggling too. And before Abdel Nasser's plan, there was this one corner of the, you know, Turkey is like this.
Mm-hmm.
Here is Lebanon, and there is Turkey like this, and this Mediterranean, and Egypt is here. There is this small section that then after World War I, it was in the French dominion.
Mm-hmm.
The French gave this little part to Turkey. I mean, Turkey is lucky.
Right.
And there is this Cyprus here. English gave half of it to Turkey. So they are doing all these things like, I'm giving something to you which do not even belong to me.
Right.
It belongs to that person. I don't even listen to them.
Right.
So now Syria has this problem with Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
They want that little thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not little. And this here, you see?
Yeah.
Turkey here is
here.
This part, and this part like this, is the historic Armenia.
Mm-hmm.
And here, there's a lot of Armenians, old, century old,
mm-hmm.
which when French gave this to Turkey, just ran away. They left everything. They said, we don't want to be killed. Land, name it, everything. They came to Syria.
Mm.
This is, I think, in 35, something like that. And they came all to Armenia, to Syria, to Lebanon, to Egypt, to Europe, or maybe America too. So after this, when Abdel Nasser of Egypt made pact with Syria, the first nation that he started to convince that we should all be brothers, brotherhood, all these things,
mm-hmm.
and to start the United Arab republics of
mm-hmm.
United Arab countries, but he right away he dominated Syria.
Mm-hmm.
He right away like took all the employees, top people, Syrian, and put Egyptians. It was a form of holding.
Mm-hmm.
It did not last long. Syrian people started to feel funny. And he confiscated all the factories, this and that. At that time, the Armenians started to feel something is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started to again emigrate to Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
Here too,
uh-huh.
America and France.
Right.
And every time there is something like that, because we had been slapped, you know, very
mm-hmm.
bad,
mm-hmm.
We started to, before something happens, let's go. Like we did, my family did, because there was something in Lebanon starting a fanatism, you know, this fanatism. fanatism started, and they started to...
And you just kind of feel it in the
feel.
Air, huh?
My husband said, I'm not staying. So we came to America.
What year was that?
This is the 69 we came,
mm-hmm.
and sure enough, after we came, it hardly took some years, and then those fighting in Lebanon very bad,
mm-hmm.
accelerated and became bigger and bigger, and it lasted 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
So all this time
right.
we were here, and he was right.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong because I did not want to come.
Mm-hmm.
I thought happy, go lucky, happy
right.
country, Lebanon, is a happy, small, very tiny country. I mean, who needs Lebanon? Especially with Iran's fanatism, there is a lot. Who you think had those hostages? You know.
Right. So, from your point of view, you had reason to.
Mm-hmm. Nothing really is happening there now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that, after Nasser, all the other nations, Arab, found out that
mm-hmm.
it's not really.
I didn't.
I think
right.
from. We were here, he died of heart attack, they said.
Right.
They said.
What did George. What was your husband doing for a living? Accepted?
Yeah.
He was
in textile
mm-hmm.
there, in, that made
uh-huh.
fabrics in Aleppo, Syria. And that, you know, they used to do the fabrics with and foot looms. I remember his father had foot looms and electric ones.
Right.
In Syria, not in Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
And my father moved to me or us, whatever. And we got married in Lebanon.
Uh-huh.
And
so he did
his textile in Lebanon.
Okay.
But my father was in rug business. He changed from rug business off, that was his trade, to so then it is textile.
Mm-hmm.
When we came here, I mean, I was really wondering what he is going to do,
mm-hmm.
especially to, but I had a little bit of English. I had good French, but a little bit. I never have worked when I was
mm-hmm.
not married.
Mm-hmm.
I did not work. Scared. What are we going to do?
And did you must have
worked Lebanon.
So how many kids did you have then? Did you come with?
We were, it is, you know, this daughter, not this, the one that I spoke to. I did not know how
yeah.
people live here.
Yeah.
But we did not come. We
in Massachusetts?
In Troy, New York
uh-huh.
State. And it's Melrose, New York. Do you know where that
yeah,
is?
I just know it's smaller than Troy.
Bigel town and this town,
uh-huh.
mechanic will name it little,
right.
small thing.
I know the area.
Wow. You know, is this America? What we can? Oh my God. I mean, it's not that I did not like it. I liked it. But what do you do to live?
Yeah. Yeah.
Out of something. And he has a cousin in Sogos. He knew we were coming. He said, you know, he gave his number. He said, you know, when you come, call me.
What am
I
going to do?
It's open land, nothing so good if you have the cousin in Sogos. And there was, he said, you know, states.
Right.
What's up?
You're 100 years too late.
Yeah,
yeah.
But no more. We're empty. And not all places.
I know.
Name it, Korea, China, nothing. No more textile.
Right.
But
so
there was only one, they did sales of the boats.
Mm-hmm.
That hood sales is very famous with its fabric that they made.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what he had heard. He took him there. This
fabulous.
Yeah, he worked 13 years there.
Wow.
The machines.
Mm-hmm.
He made sure. When he went, he said there was a whole parts piled. He, first of all, he had to make those, started to put all these machines together,
mm-hmm.
mixing. He knows that.
Yeah, sure.
Machines.
Oh, it was. Well, see, that's what I was going to ask you, because just because you worked in textiles,
no,
wouldn't it?
No, with the machines.
Okay.
So they liked him, and then next thing, that was the fun.
Yeah, because this is
a long
history.
My father is to, he used to test, try, die, duel at home, like a comrade to my father.
Mm-hmm.
They did together. It did not have trying about many things, not only dying us,
mm-hmm.
to make something cheaper. Or always my mother is a remnant of to try to. Only grew up, I got attracted to it.
Mm-hmm.
Very were not at the place, I can't even call it a fabric. Looms, mostly the looms that houses.
In the weaver's the, house.
Yeah,
uh-huh,
like
so.
One, the, all the wife, mother, usually women, worked on it while having their babies,
mm-hmm,
having
mm-hmm.
their...
That cottage industry.
Yeah.
They could work on it at home.
Yeah, and then...
And you can tend to your food and your children and your mothers
that.
And... Yeah.
You know, otherwise
yeah.
how this... You know, he used to go from house to house. He had the... forms, all these things. So that was the way it was then.
Mm-hmm. So you...
He... Some days he used to go, and women, some women that were free could work there.
Mm-hmm.
He used to dye the wool.
And somebody, who did the spinning? Somebody else? Who spun the wool into...
Spun.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
then,
I know.
This is, I'm talking about when I was maybe 10, maybe to get rid of some of the children from mm-hmm. my mother. I used to watch all this dyeing, you know,
yeah.
how it's an interest.
Chemical dyes already.
I would say some of them were natural,
mm-hmm.
some of them. And then wood would be burning.
Mm-hmm.
Real
oh,
wood.
Oh, so great.
And yellow, this and
yeah.
that. Wow, you know, I mean, it's so, it is, you know, I got fond of it,
yeah.
maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you. Well, it sounds like
only
that's
me.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And then he used to have remnants of things, you know,
mm-hmm.
pearls. And then when I became 15, 14, for me, she was crazy. People outside, what would they think? You know, you are old.
You were ahead
please,
of your time.
Make, yeah. Please make it. And I would ask me, is this from Europe?
Yeah.
I always surprised
oh,
people.
Yeah.
And there was a fine rug, some piece of it, you know. I made her.
People are gonna
I
think.
Can't what people this is old Syria, this is not here.
Yeah.
And, but in the
But it worked
in the
40s, right? Even then?
50s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So so I grew up like that. For me was a world.
Uh-huh.
You know, big thing.
Oh.
Do your homework. She was a book freak, you know, these tests. And they would stay until midnight, 1 o'clock, and
oh,
I, wow. you know, and if my sister would say, how are you going to wake up tomorrow to school, for instance? I mean, she was right, too.
Uh-huh.
So when I was, then I got married, I had the children, I, this is the time, I wanted to work, but I had, I'm a housewife, what else?
And you wanted to work with textile stuff? Is
my
that
hand,
what you wanted,
something
you wanted to do
hand.
Something? You weren't
I
sure.
I knew that I can produce,
yeah.
but I did not know what.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this, my neighbor's daughter was married to a, this is really the source, to a man that dealt with anti-drugs. And he used to cut rugs, make pillows, repair all things, you know. Then he was one of the rare ones. Maybe people did not even pay attention to
mm-hmm.
it. And then his wife used to do little repairs. I did not know that people repaired rugs. Whatever rugs were old were thrown away. Who thought about repairing? But this young man, he was young, you know, started something, and then now his two sons are dealers.
Oh, oh.
So,
so he was right.
Right.
He was also ahead of his time.
So I told him, I said, can I work too? And then this is the time that approached us coming here. You know, he brought a small rug like this and started to teach me. He said, this is the needle and this is the thread. Mm-hmm. This is how you pass it. And then
we're really starting at the beginning, huh?
I'm listening. Yeah. And I right away in front of him started to work. He said, are you kidding? You know it already. I mean, why you are doing this to me? You know, because he had put time to come to my house. So I said, no, this is the first time I see anything like this. He said, you know, don't go to America.
Yeah, stay here.
Stay
I need
here.
You.
Don't go. We had sold everything. We are coming. We came. But I could not work. There was children. But then I wanted to work at home. And then the first place that I worked, there was an ad in an Armenian paper. He said, I can't give at home because there is a lot of things here, insurances and stealing, and he doesn't know me, all these things. But I said, I have a little girl.
Yeah.
You know, I cannot. He said, bring her too, because she did not go to school yet. No, I mean, how can I bring her here? I started working, taking my daughter with me, but then my husband already was working in Marblehead.
Now, so where were you? Was this in New York State? Or
no.
This was
we came because of his cousins.
Okay.
And
so you're in Massachusetts.
So then we did not know about daycares thing. We found a very good daycare that people told us, and then we put that girl there. It was a very clean and a Catholic priest something place. And I worked until the other kids came from the school. And then, God, whatever I touched, I worked. You know, I did perfect.
So what was the job?
Repairing
rugs
in a store.
Okay. Like
and
an antique store?
Yeah, it's a rug store.
Okay, a rug store.
But right after, I worked only 1 year there because then we moved to here.
To Lexington?
To Waltham.
Okay.
And then I worked to the Gregorians. I worked 10 years on a row, you know, one brand.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, 10 years. I mean, whatever I worked, I was surprised first myself. How am I doing this? I did not know that I could. You know, this is what is the thing that
interesting.
People have things in their inside, but it needs an excuse, a event, something that starts, you know. Like there is oil somewhere and sitting, and then it needs one thing. that. And since then I'm working. I mean, sometimes I used to have so much work here at home. Oh, I worked 10 years there, then I stayed home. I said, that's it. I went to Gregory and John. I said, I'm not coming anymore. He said, what? Like meaning, how dare you? I said, I gave my dues to the rags.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't want to come. I don't want to drive every day back and forth. Because I knew what he was paying me. I could do that in one day. You know.
Right.
So why? What's the point of going back and forth? Now, coming back to my husband's rug, merchant. The Marblehead, after 13 years, the man died, the owner died, and the son took the plant, or it's a huge place. It's a sail makers, but there is huge places because how you have to cut those sails when it's flat on the floor
right.
needs space. And then besides that, they had parking on the water for yachts
right,
or boats or things. That that's another line of boat making, or not boat harboring.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you had heard that they always won the America's Cup in sailboat racing.
Right.
The hood sails, hood, what hood has in his name. Anyway, when it closed, it stopped.
Yeah.
And then slowly we started to think, what can we do together?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we do. Rug making, like a merchant. Yeah.
Did he know people? I mean, was it just from having been in textiles that he kind of knew enough about it, or was it from working
it
with your
helps,
father?
It helps, but no, it helps because they at home had hundreds of rugs. The Armenians are so connected with rugs
mm-hmm.
that. You know, it's kind of part of our, let's say, culture
mm-hmm.
to have, not have only, like someone gets married, it's a rug. The gift is a rug.
Mm-hmm.
Baby, the gift is a rug. Rug, you know, it's all over like that. So it's really my knowledge. And then he started, we sit and talk a lot. We argue a lot about rugs, you know, it's a rug subject is in this house.
Mm-hmm.
And then he worked 6 months in a rug store. He really acquired a lot of things
mm-hmm.
from them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he wanted to do himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to go to New York, and you start to look from a rug or rugs from a store, and then you want something else, and then they send you somewhere else, and then slowly now he knows everybody. Everybody knows him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
and
it's the idea that basically he buys and sells rugs.
Yeah, he buys and sells
mm-hmm.
rugs,
mm-hmm.
and his place is here. Do you know that?
I didn't know. See, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, this is Tukar Garaj there.
Uh huh.
That's where his store is. We can. It's you know how it is. It's word of mouth.
Mm-hmm. So people come here.
We have
here
a good clientele. Clientele. Is that the right
word? That's right. That's absolutely right.
And we don't even have an ad.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. You know,
mm-hmm.
it just we are here. The customer comes. We
mm-hmm.
Go down.
Mm-hmm. Are these? Are your customers? Is your clientele? People interested in certain, are they all old rugs?
No, they're not old rugs, but.
But it's not
we
all,
are
it's not all antique.
Antiques. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't want to deal with
mm-hmm.
antiques. He's not that type of person. Antiques is a heavy business.
Right.
You have to have and wait. No, he's a fast seller.
Mm-hmm.
He buys
mm-hmm.
and sells.
Mm-hmm. So it would be his clientele, your clientele, people who are just interested in good rugs.
Good rugs.
Good rugs.
Yeah. He has very expensive
mm-hmm.
rugs.
Mm-hmm.
We have, our customers are not like indoor rugs people. They
mm-hmm.
are not. We used to have nice kilims, very nice kilims. I love kilims, but he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And we did do a lot of arguments for that. Because the profit gain, selling a kilim is nothing. You know?
Yeah.
It's a cheap thing and then you sell cheap. He thinks that it's not worth even
mm-hmm.
your breath.
Mm-hmm. Even though you love them.
Even though. And
yeah.
a lot of people love them.
Oh, well, you know, I can remember when kilims sort of were the thing.
Yeah.
Every magazine featured
now
them.
Too.
At, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I would not prefer. I don't know. I don't have any space for a kilim,
mm-hmm.
But I would love to have a kilim
mm-hmm.
somewhere in the house.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The different tastes.
Two different. We are.
And
very
so you
different.
Do repairs on any rugs that.
Yeah. I mean, he's repairs, and you know, people bring me. And lately, since since 88, I worked a lot on tapestries.
Uh-huh.
And I am fond of it.
Mm.
I repair for someone, a woman,
mm-hmm.
that brings those antique pieces. I will bring now something if you are interested.
Yes.
Brings from Europe. She goes England and France, and these tapestries are on old couches, you know, back and seats. And this
so
is,
you're
this
not talking
not
about
this
tapestry,
is not tapestry
that just hung on the wall.
Oh, that too.
But
yeah.
But you mean you're talking about any form of
any
tapestry.
Form of,
mm-hmm.
and then she makes them into pillows.
Uh-huh.
And the pillows, even tassels, even
yeah.
everything
yeah.
is old.
Yeah.
Not this. This piece is old.
Right.
And
now
each pillow she sells for 3,000, 2,800. Yeah. And they are so beautiful. I mean, there are a lot of people buy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she makes and then it's sold.
Well, it's true. I've noticed pillows have become another big, not just something as elaborate as tapestry pillows, but pillows.
Oh, pillows. And for instance, this is not tapestry. This is
mm-hmm.
machine made. But there are the tapestries of chairs like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just cut with a razor blade. And take it, and you see, you know, the space
yeah.
of those legs and things. And then they turn it into, mostly they are, let me bring one thing
uh-huh.
for you to have an idea.
Okay.
So I did that, which I am fond of. This is what I meant, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for instance, I repair them. These are, see how bad they are?
And you'll make it look?
Yeah, I repair them and they are perfect.
Wow, that's
wow.
really worn.
Because I love it. I love to work on these things like this.
Well, my question is, besides the guy in Lebanon who started teaching you but right before you left, have you been taught by anybody else?
No. Yeah, no.
So you figured out how to repair tapestries without anybody teaching you?
No. This is what I try to tell some people, think that I can't teach anything. I said, I taught to myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Every time you say, you know, how I'm, oh, you don't know what kind of works I have done at the Gregorians, like burn drugs, whole drugs, moth-eaten drugs. I mean, for instance, there was a rug like 26 by 15. How do you work on a hole which is in the middle of that rug? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
So then, besides...
And you figured it out?
Besides working, you have to think how are you going to reach it?
Yeah.
So you think, you know. Otherwise, some other people will say, it's impossible, you can't do that. But you, if you are a repairer, you really have to solve it somehow. And I made them roll, you know, two sides, like roll from this side.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the only thing that I could figure out.
And then put on, you know, and I sat under here with a flashlight. You know how hard that is? But when
that's like doing the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah.
Over
and
your
then
head.
When you finish, you don't know how happy you are. Say you did. Unbelievable. This is not only.
Oh.
It's a funny feeling, you know, this repairing. You have this feeling that you will go back until you reach that person that has done it. it's a challenge to make it again what he did, you know. Otherwise, you don't even venture to do it. And furniture repairer or any repairer, they have this satisfaction nobody understands.
Mm-hmm. It must be a very certain temperament, though, because I'm sure that very few people can get that feeling of,
for instance,
of
knitting.
Why you would go to that.
Why,
trial.
Yeah. I mean, why I can't say, oh, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, well, or it's just, as you say, it's impossible.
It's impossible. Don't do it.
Right.
Knitting, I knit very well. I used to knit when I was a teenager. I remember I saw someone pullovers and with a different design, you know. Then was like everybody did better, wanted to do better than the other,
mm-hmm.
or more complicated. I remember I walked behind him so close, you know, looking how it's done. I walked the man
walking, looking at his sweater, getting right up next to him. If he stopped suddenly, you walk into him.
He's turning and he walks again, and I walk again. I was, you know, not even 20 then. And I did not tell him I'm looking at you.
Right.
I don't know why I did not tell him. But I did. I came home, I said, I want to know how it's done.
Yeah.
This is something, it's fun. Like, in every domain it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
cooking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to...
Music. You know, you hear something, and Peter Cavellis yesterday was telling me the story. He said the first time he heard the oud played, he went, that's for me. I want to play an instrument that sounds like that. You know, he'd never heard it before.
Yeah.
You know, there's no explanation for that.
There is no explanation. It's a, you know, meals or food, huh?
Yeah.
Like, I do the preserve of rose petals. I love to cook too. I am torn between too many things. Gardening. Like when we moved to this house, we moved at December 15th. You know, there was snow like that.
Right.
And there was some work on this roof. And I had started to take out from the roots some plants that were in the other house. I mean, why I'm
in
not
December.
Saying, no, this is before,
oh,
slowly,
oh, okay.
I put everything in a box,
uh-huh.
in a carton box,
right.
Not even pot, because we did not have that much.
Uh-huh.
Now I have millions, but then I did not. And I did not know where it's going,
mm-hmm.
because there was nothing here. It's a wild, nothing. So since the place is not ready, where does this go? So I put everything next to each other, and I did not know where it's going. I know they will freeze. And there was some work on this roof. The man was working on the roof, and I started to dig only this much for that box. As much as I would put that in the ground and wait spring to come. Because there was nowhere that I could put.
Right.
And, but there was snow. And the ground was frozen. How anybody can put that there? Now I'm bringing hot water from inside.
To thaw the ground.
Pouring. And pouring. And being still strong.
Determined.
Like, yeah. And all this time, finally, I am in mud. I'm frozen. I have covered myself with what, I mean, I look like a homeless person, you know, and I am determined to put that in that thing. And then finally, the man from the roof has watched me. He said, now I have seen everything. I have never seen, he was then 70 year old, the man. He said, I have seen everything in my life, but I have never seen anybody planting flowers in December 15th. He said, I have never, I mean, you are something. Anyway, I put it there, I covered with leaves, and spring came, everything was alive. And so I started to, you know what, this is stubbornness,
yeah.
Saving. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I have to save something.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that in, then you can become a repairer.
Uh-huh.
Repairer is
uh-huh.
a very stingy person.
A very stingy person.
Doesn't throw away anything.
Yeah. But I'll see, here, I understand how this can be
yeah,
done.
This can be
because
this is
because that's filling in again.
Yeah. But this
here,
is here.
I can't, I mean, I know something about textiles, and I'm looking at that, and I want you to tell me if there are words to tell me. I mean, at some point I'd like to see you doing it, but how do you, what
are you
doing?
You have to have some kind of a little bit art inside you.
Mm-hmm.
To sometimes, for instance, here, it's only one color, it will be done.
Right.
This is
right.
This. But sometimes, like part of this rose is gone,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or face,
yeah.
Or face is gone.
Right.
So then you have to form it, a face, eyes, something. So animals or...
Has any of this been repaired yet?
No, not
no,
yet.
So there's not,
not
a, you can't show
no.
me a spot on there
no,
that's,
no,
that you've already
yet.
Done.
So this is not difficult to
yeah.
hear.
Most people would find it difficult. Let's say,
yeah.
if you know what you're doing, it's not so difficult to do one color, I understand.
It is,
that.
You know, sometimes I say, if I hit some millions, you know,
mm.
would I still do it? Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
I would.
Can we hold, I'd love to get a picture of some of these, maybe against, my flash is not working dependably.
But
can we hold it kind of in front of the window so I could just get a picture of what a tapestry is, yeah, and show that's really the.
You mean
the
I
holes.
Wish I had others.
Yeah, but I think that's a perfect example of
you mean
the challenge. Yeah. If you kind of hold it right so that the white's behind it, and I'll then it'll show. Oh yeah, that's perfect.
Maybe I should.
Yeah.
Put with some needles. I mean, pins.
Well, if you hold, just hold it for now. Let me see, because I can see where the holes are. I can see light coming through. Oh, I didn't put the new film in. That's what it is. It's telling me to put the film in. Sorry. Thought I was all prepared.
No, I watch HGTV program.
Yeah.
And I just fall in love with people that make things out of chunks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done that too. You know what? I don't have the right film. Okay, I'm going to have to come back with the... I have black and white film. It's really not...
Uh-huh.
You know, because I'd like to get pictures of...
Of what?
Yeah, of your other stuff, you know? And it's all in color, right? I mean, it's silly
yeah.
to take it...
This
let me... I'll do it. I'll come again.
Please, let's go.
Yeah.
Whoa, I'm sorry.
No,
it's not
covered.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry.
Maybe then I can have other things, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe a rug, too.
Yeah. you went from here down Concord to the end of it, that's Spring Street?
Spring Street.
You took a right on Spring, and actually the first left you could take is Shade Street,
yeah,
do you know that?
Yeah.
You go into the second street and take a right
oh.
on Cary, or if you took Spring Street all the way to 2A and took a left, do you know where the reservoir is?
Yeah.
Well, basically just
wow.
across from the reservoir, it's, you know,
so
really
close.
Yeah.
I mean, you can come walking.
Yes, I know, exactly. And you know what? I see your daughter sometimes down at the corner of Concord and
yeah.
Waltham Street. Over the years, I would see her there, and I'd go, I know.
So you
were
there a long time? Since
well,
a long time?
I was in Lexington. I was in Lexington when we went to Washington. And then I moved to Lincoln for about 6 years.
Oh.
And then my kids said, no, we want to be in Lexington because they have a CVS and all the action all the action is in Lexington. So we moved back.
In fact, there is no action in
well,
Lexington.
Well, I know, but by comparison to Lincoln.
Oh.
Lincoln,
you know, they
worse.
Say nothing happens in Lexington.
I know. And
thank God nothing happens.
Well, that's exactly. I mean, from a parent's point of view,
yeah.
we're all going.
No, it's
goodness.
A solid good town.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I like very much Lexington.
Yeah. Oh, I do too. Well, and it's even changed from the time I first lived here to
yeah.
when I came back.
Yeah, it has changed.
It's more
still,
fun even, I think.
Still, yeah.
Yeah. So.
You know, in summer, where the coffee shop is and CVS, you know,
yeah.
kids are there. It's cute and it's safe.
And it's safe, exactly.
It's safe.
They
yeah.
think they have a kind of pep time.
Yeah,
it,
it's
we
not
know
safe.
It's safe.
Yeah, and it's a, you know, straight sidewalks. There is no. I don't like the Belmont Center. It's not even a center.
No, I know.
It's like the police station dominates, and there
right.
is it's that.
Right.
That's it, huh?
Right.
Yeah,
yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about this. What I was thinking about the film just now. You were talking about it's easy up here when you've got just this background
yeah.
color. Color, when you're doing repair, is terribly important. Now, do you have a thousand pieces
yeah.
of yarn,
not
all
thousand,
different colors. To
it's mostly these are the colors, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
from a certain
yeah,
time period.
Yeah.
But you have to have
I
an
have.
Incredible eye for that.
I yeah.
Don't you? Because
a rug,
to,
from
well,
rug
to,
store.
Yeah. To redo it, it's like I know with painting, you know, there's
yeah.
a green that's just perfect, and there are 100 greens that aren't. You know?
You
and
know,
I would say it's probably true here.
When I was at the Gregorians, I wanted to work at the Museum of Fine Arts Tapestry Department.
Mm-hmm.
And we made an appointment, and I was going to be interviewed. I went, and I was waiting. You know, it's you go million of doors, walls, things. And then I was there waiting, and someone, there was a tapestry on a loom that somebody must be doing repair work.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, this is so fine. Imagine that this was repaired with 10 times thicker thread. How it will look bulging and new colors, you
mm-hmm.
know, brand new colors. And I looked at it, I did not like it, of course. And then someone came, an older woman, like my age now, and I said that I have an interview with, you know, for to work. And then I said, it's too bad, you know, whoever has done this has destroyed it. I wish that they left it alone, it's much better. She said, I did it. Who said, why you opened your big mouth again? And then she said, we don't need anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, things like that are happening.
But I'm sure.
This is a museum. It's not a joke.
But when you look at, I mean, that's what I mean, I know enough about this to say that if somebody uses the wrong weight, the wrong color, it's true. It's better to have left it a whole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's so obvious. I mean, the integrity of the whole piece
is. It happened to me. I said it.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have said it.
Well, except you wouldn't have been able to work in that situation with bad work going on around you.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
I still I'm dreaming of it, but somehow days are going by and fast, and a lot of things happened in my family in between. You know, my son got married. He had a baby boy. I mean, he had a son. And then they got divorced. They got a very ugly divorce.
Mm.
So these things bother your life. You know? And then he did the stupid thing too. He could not accept the divorce.
Mm.
He could not. And he took his son and fled. So those things happened to my, and then he called his wife, where he is. He did not hide. He did not hide the boy or himself. You know, he said, "I want us to come together," and that was very wrong. So she went. She withdrew the divorce, and she said she is going to join. Of course, we did not believe because we knew.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't blame her too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
a difficult situation.
Yeah. And she lived with him, and then one day, you know, she took the kid and came back here.
Mm-hmm.
Now the boy is 11 year old, and we haven't seen him. She even left Massachusetts. I don't know where she is, but we know she's not here. So those things troubled me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think about
these
nice things?
That's really hard.
Now
he
is there. Of course, he's burning up, but he's charged with kidnapping. He did not know. He could not. He got married again. I think out of. I mean, it's a very lovely girl. You can't even compare this new wife with the old. The old one, even before, was trouble, you know. She was not the kind to be scared of embarrassment, or she was like rough, tough. It did not work for me. But even as it is, I mean, we did not have any problem with parents. He got married, and then he said he's not coming to a country, and he was an America lover. Oh,
no.
He was one of those that no matter what, America is right. And he did not, he said, you know, that here, you know, it's always, you know, the woman side. Courts believe, of course they will believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if they don't believe and something happens?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. In 1 minute, in 1 second, she made the papers of restraining order. Just from one day to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine one day before they had a cookout.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't.
Yeah.
It was sudden, you know. Anyway, whatever she thought was right, she did, you know. We don't know. Now he wants to come back. And because he's in Lebanon, and you know, Lebanon is not, is one of those places now. It's not anymore like before.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there is the rich, and there is the poor.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle, people are dying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There is no job, there is little place, you know, very tiny. whoever is already rich. Rents are terrible, things like that. But he's charged with that kidnapping. But he did not hide, he did not run away. He told her where he is. So she went and lived with him. So things like this, it like tarnished my life. It did not leave me free to be better or pursue things better. But I tried, I did as much as I could, I did. We continued our life, of course. We talked to them. So, let's see. But it doesn't mean that I have left my life.
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
I have.
But it's funny how those things take over.
Take over.
You know, you think you're going along one way and suddenly.
Suddenly, yeah.
You're really challenged to kind of put your life back together.
Back to, yeah. It's yeah. But I'm not the type to sit and lament, and I always have hope all the time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not to say, oh, everything is done, finished. Say, a lot of Armenians are like me. You know, we always...
They're resilient.
Think, You know, we don't fall apart then.
Yeah, well...
I'm sorry I told you.
No, but that's real. You know, here I am going, oh, well, tell me about the embroidery and stuff. But, you know, this
is that part
even more real than that part.
It is that part, too.
Yeah.
So coming back to Susan and Armenians and of course there is. Of course there is.
Yeah. Well, you do, you let's see, you've said gardening, cooking, these are things you love and do.
Torn between all these things.
Yeah, gardening, cooking. Now, how much embroidery stuff do you do? Besides the repair work, how much of your own?
Oh, constantly.
Constantly. And I know that your mother's very good, too, isn't she? That's what I heard, that she was, I guess from Sarah Marx's stuff, she said, oh, and her mother is fabulous, and she does this and that and the other thing.
And then we are like two friends, you know. I do something, I show her, she corrects me, I correct her. We say no, yes, it's a constant partnership, non-stop. And she's so happy for me. She never says openly that she's happy, but the other day she was complaining, she was saying, for my two daughters, I feel so bad for none of them have taken after you. None of my children are doing anything that, and I say, how about me? Yeah, I know you.
Oh, you, yeah, well.
It's true. Yeah. The parents want something like that. They want like a chain continuation of anything. Let it be cooking, let it be gardening even. They don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
My children do not do it.
Yeah.
I'm left to myself. But now, my younger daughter started, since 1 year, you know, this is the first summer that she started to, before she used to say, oh, mother, you've done flowers. Or, and I say anything, just don't say dumb flowers. They are not
dumb. They're not dumb, they're beautiful.
And I have all those flowers in the kitchen. They all were on this porch and this deck.
Yeah.
No, it's not deck. It's what? What do you call this? The front.
Porch.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was like a paradise there. And then, you know, it was beautiful. Everybody praised me. And now that it was first time, how can anybody leave them to die? So I put that it's dumb, really. So I said, don't worry, they will die one at
that's
a
right.
time.
Eventually, that's right, slowly, and we won't notice, you know, as
it's
dramatically.
Like they died in their, like, old age, you know, that's a real
the way they should.
The way they should.
Yeah.
You don't leave them to die.
I know, exactly. I brought all my plants in, and my son keeps saying, "Mom, the leaves are dropping." I said, "That's the you know." So eventually, in another month or two, we'll get rid of them. We'll put the pots back outside. Don't worry about it.
That's a normal, natural death.
Yeah.
It's not accident, you know.
Do you have in your cooking? And I really do want to come back. I want to watch you do rose petals.
No, there is no roses.
No, I know, but sometimes
sometime.
I want to,
oh,
to
yeah.
see that.
Yeah.
I want to see cheese.
Yeah.
Dying to see the cheese done.
Oh yeah, that
you know?
Can be done anytime.
Yeah. Do you have favorite foods that you like to prepare, or is it just kind of anything and everything?
Anything and everything.
Yeah.
For instance, the crab apple here, we have this tree there.
Yeah.
I make the jelly of it and the syrup of it. And you know, it makes me, you know, so sad that I couldn't do all of it.
Right.
They will fall off and...
You can't get to them
all. Yeah, I mean, how much you can do.
So is your cooking Armenian? I mean, is it all?
Let me think. I think it's more all Armenian.
Mm-hmm.
My sister is all American.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's funny.
Interesting.
And I never wanted to learn anything like traditional things. Like there is Thanksgiving, huh? No, I do Thanksgiving, but I always mix with Armenian.
Tell me, like what? What will you mix in with?
You know, with the grape leaf thing, and in the tray we do kofta, you know, with bulgur.
With what? Bulgur.
And in Thanksgiving I do the stew of pumpkin.
Oh,
yeah.
Fabulous.
Oh, God forbid, I never throw away anything. I tell my daughter, I kill you if you throw away your pumpkin.
But now that's interesting, because it means that Armenians, you fit in perfectly in old Yankee style.
Yeah.
Waste not, want not,
oh,
don't throw away.
Oh, that's me.
Right?
It's
a good thing you came north and not to the south, because this is, you know, that's the tradition here from way
it's
back.
It's good that I'm not in California.
Yes, oh yeah,
oh
you'd
yeah.
be totally.
It's that's another...
No, it's not. It's running now.
Oh my God!
Do you want me to stop?
No.
Okay.
The Armenians that has come to New England, let's say Connecticut, it's mostly here in Massachusetts, and then it's like a sieve or what? They start to separate the ones that fit in with the Yankee way, let's say they paint a chair, they give to each other, they stay here.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that, of what's that, for God's sake, go to California.
Mm-hmm.
Now we distinctly are separated. We here, now once we...
What's the division between the people who throw out their pumpkins and the ones who save them?
Yeah. And I was in California, the first time I was in California, I started to look for... where are, for instance, the Khachar Durians, this and that? They said, oh, I think they are in such a place. Are these the people that live on $800,000 house? This is like 10 years ago. Houses were not that expensive. And then if I ask, oh, I know, that woman that wears only acrylic. Then I asked my friend, what's going on here? She said, this is how we talk here. We know the person by her house and what she wears. If she doesn't wear design or something, he's written, that's no good. I said, are you crazy? We have changed this much.
Uh-huh.
She says, this particular friend is like me, but lives there. She says, this is it. You know, and for instance, the shoe and the purse,
handbag
are a match. And one was saying that, oh, she found a darling, whatever,
darling.
For $250. What? buying. That is how it is here. You have to buy.
Oh, dear.
To fall in some kind
yeah.
of group. And I said, you know what? Let me tell you one thing. We there, we praise ourselves how cheap I could get that shoe.
That's
from. That's the race there. And this dress that I have used to belong to my friend.
Uh-huh.
This is how we are there.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
and we're
no,
proud
no.
of it.
We give to each other.
Mm-hmm.
We proud.
So
we
funny.
Are so proud. And then, for instance, I really bought a shoe for $1.50 here, and it was, I was wearing it. I said, "How much you think this shoe is?" One is said 30. You know, 30 is cheap. 20, go lower, 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 lower. $1.50. They said, "This is what we talk about. We always say." How less? It's really here. People are like that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But it's an interesting combination of, as you say, never throwing anything out, and yet the repair work you do, it is still all about very high quality. But
yeah.
it's also that preserving and not wasting. You know, not
oh, yeah,
getting
for
rid of.
The, for the rich, of
mm-hmm.
course, for, you know, the, for me to buy $1.50 shoe is what, for the rich, is that pillow.
Right.
Because they know it's repaired.
Right.
Nobody is telling them it's brand new.
Right.
The more antique is, the better.
But you wouldn't, if I looked at the rugs in your house, I would never find an acrylic, you know, mass dyed, you know, cheap
no.
rug in
no.
your house.
No.
Because you know
no,
what the
and
best
we don't
stuff
even
is.
Sell. We don't
yeah.
have.
Right. But I mean, the point is,
oh,
if you
oh.
can buy a shoe for $1.50, fine.
It's not bad shoe, good shoe
right.
for
that's right.
$1.50.
That's right. Oh, I know, I know. And I know, and that's why we're so proud of ourselves, because
yeah, yeah.
we got something, and somebody else paid $50 for what
yeah,
I, you know.
Yeah, it's a good shoe.
I know,
with
but then there's
it.
that other piece of what you're doing, which is really about, you know, excellence. And
excellence?
High quality and, you know, a way of valuing people's time
well,
and work.
We would never buy a handbag for $100, $250 if we cannot afford.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we can afford, we wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even we...
Right.
We
right.
wouldn't, you know.
So, but you might, having saved that money, buy a good rug.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I can buy a some antique something. I easily will give $100.
Yeah.
I will never feel bad here.
Yeah.
I know what it is. You
right.
know. We here. When I say we, I don't mean Armenians. I mean this part of the. It's a funny, it's a sweet and funny way of living, you know, like stop at a sidewalk, take something there, not be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Do you know what it means? It means I am not even embarrassed. What if someone sees? Who cares?
I know. We are all trash pickers.
Yeah.
Somebody's put it out. They don't want it. I can use
yeah.
it. Let me take it.
And like we bought this wood stove, it's a powerful, strong, big, we had a tiny, small something in good shape, nothing was wrong. We put that, and we put a sign, you can have it,
mm-hmm.
and when you want it, come ask us, because we are weaving the pipes too.
Uh-huh. What a deal.
Oh, the man came,
yeah.
is it really, yeah, take all
yeah.
these parts too.
Excellent. Great.
Yeah. So it's,
interesting. I like that image of the sieve. People came and they get separated out. The people were interested in this way of living.
It's funny, you know, not only Armenians, the non-Armenians are like that too there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the influence of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's the influence
out there.
Of
mm-hmm.
it. To be pompous, you know.
Mm-hmm. When you grew up, you were talking about the needlework stuff. You were talking about knitting, and I guess I didn't associate Armenia with knitting, but that's only because I didn't think of it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody. Maybe that was the style then.
Yeah.
Knitting. No, knitting existed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Did you learn all sorts of needle crafts from your mother, or from other people?
My mother's cousin.
From your
mother's
cousin.
My mother's cousin was queen in. My mother is in crochet.
Oh, that's her.
Yeah,
name.
Armenia did crocheting more, let's say.
Okay, more than knitting.
More than knitting.
Okay.
But my mother's cousin was, perfect. I mean, she could do anything, everything, like things that could be in magazines. It's, you know, perfect. And then when I, oh God, I have so many things. If you don't have maybe the time. When I wanted to knit, my mother had enough of me, you know. Everything. I wanted to do everything, you know. And she sent me to her. So it was summers, you know. Girls went up, they used to call it apprentice, to an aunt, a relative.
Oh.
That was the
that
world.
Was really customary.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you went to that relative, every day, like going to school. And there you had to, not like a maid, you had to listen what she says, do what she says, bring me water, and open the door. It's almost ordering,
mm-hmm.
and you do it without back talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's a aunt, it's
mm-hmm.
a cousin, it's something like that. And then she sent me there, and then I started.
No, she sent you there to be taught certain things?
To be taught the knitting.
Okay, okay.
But while you are there,
you
do
you're doing
things.
Whatever you're asked.
Not cleaning,
mm-hmm.
but, and then they look at you from the corner of their eye, you know, how am I? Am I revolting? I'm saying, I'm not doing, am I lazy? Because then they'll tell your mother,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
she's like this, she's like that, or
mm-hmm.
she's very good. So I did start the knitting. And then she told me, go and do this much, and tomorrow you come back. And I went, I worked at home, and then I came back. But, you know, it's a little girl, you know how to knit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I had lost one thing, and then I had worked on top of it. And then I said, you know, look what happened here. You know, it's. She said, now, you put this in your head. When you see a mistake, you come back right away. Don't say to yourself, oh, here there was a mistake I did, and work and work and work.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the time you are going to think about it, you say, oh, I did a mistake. You undo it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more you, and it doesn't even work fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you are going to think about it, and it's going to stay there.
Mm-hmm. That actually sounds like a great philosophy of life.
Yeah,
fix
of everything.
Fix the mistake.
She's not talking about the embroidery.
Uh-huh.
She's talking about in general.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever she says must be right. You know, you don't say anything. And then she pulled the thing in and then started to undo looking at me. God,
yeah.
All that work of one day, it's gone.
Yeah.
I had my breath, and then she put it back, and then she's okay, that's like God, you know, what can you say? And then she has told my mother, they were very close,
mm-hmm.
my mother and her cousin. She has told, this girl will be, she is good, she will be something. And then, and she said, why? Because while I was undoing, I was watching her.
Mm-hmm.
she was like, she couldn't, but she did not say anything. She did not say, for instance, I have done things to others. They say, no, I'm not working anymore.
Right.
You and me, and that's it.
Right. And you didn't cry, and you
no,
didn't.
But I learned that if you do anything wrong, mistake, don't go further.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, come back to your, like you are driving and then you say, no, this road is wrong, this wrong, and you still drive, you still drive. For God's sake, George, this is wrong, let's turn back. You know, a million times that has happened to us. George, this is not the road, this is, doesn't look familiar to us. He says, I think
if
it's
we
wrong.
Keep going.
I think it's wrong, yeah. This is not the road. So why you are driving, stop, turn around. And then you go 3 miles, he goes. And then he said, yeah, we have to.
They can't help it, they're men.
Yeah.
they're required by law to act that way.
Yes. Everybody says the same thing. And another thing, they don't ask.
Well, yeah. Well, they go together.
Yeah, they don't ask.
They can't stop because they can't ask to find out where they really should be going. So they have to what are their choices? They have to keep going.
You know how many times I stop this car, I'm coming out.
I'm hitchhiking home.
You ask. No, I know where I am. Yeah.
So it crosses cultural boundaries, this trait.
Oh, yeah. They don't ask.
Funny.
So this is another thing.
Now, you went to your mother's cousin to learn knitting. Did other relatives send their daughters to your mother for the crocheting?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But did you learn crocheting from your mother as well, or did you?
I'm not going in